stock market swings still dominate on this last trading day in January. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The battle between day traders and Wall Street hedge funds is continuing to rage. Shares of companies like GameStop and AMC are resuming their meteoric rise in pre-market trade. That's despite restrictions imposed yesterday by online brokerage firms, including Robinhood. Even the UK's financial watchdog this morning said it's closely monitoring the situation and trading in UK markets, warning investors should take care when trading shares in highly volatile market conditions. But jitters in global markets don't all come down to the tussle over whether these kinds of so-called nostalgia stocks should rise or fall. Key benchmarks in Paris, Frankfurt, and London are down in the 1% range this morning. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, explains why.
Beginning of this year, there was an awful lot of optimism about stimulus programs, vaccine rollout plans, lockdown restrictions easing. All that's been turned on its head. European economies are looking not only at extended lockdowns, but also slowing vaccine rollouts. The GameStop stuff coming on top of all of that, I think, has really undermined investor risk appetite. And as such, we are down quite heavily, with actually pharmaceutical stocks the worst performing sector.
Yeah, AstraZeneca shares are down more than 3.5% this morning. That's amid this ongoing row between the EU and the company over deliveries when the bloc can expect vaccines. But there is some promising news from Novavax this morning. Here's the company's boss speaking to the BBC.
We were able to show that the vaccine works well against both the old, the original strain, and the new strain. It had 96% efficacy against the original COVID-19 strain, and yet it still had 86% efficacy against the variant strain.
So that's Stan Eck, the boss of Novavax, speaking to the BBC there. Michael, will that help soothe market sentiment?
It's not, because ultimately, I think in terms of the Novavax story, that's 60 million doses for the UK, and they're going to be manufactured at Stockton-on-Tees. Markets are more focused on the fact the EU is weighing the prospect of export controls on vaccine supplies as its row with AstraZeneca ratchets up. And I think when you have the head of the European Council, Charles Michel, raising the prospect of seizing control of vaccine production, you know that the European Council and the European Commission is firefighting a crisis of epic proportions.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Investors are also parsing fresh European data this morning. The French economy contracted 1.3% in the last 3 months of 2020. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more on that.
The decline of 1.3% in France from one quarter to the next would normally be considered a very pronounced one, but in the light of a new lockdown in the period, many economists expected more. Spain and Germany recorded some growth in the quarter, although for the full year, all three countries registered sharply lower levels of activity. The most moderate decline was Germany, which is less dependent on service industries. For Spain, which is especially exposed to the massive damage the pandemic has done to tourism, the decline was 11%.
Andrew Walker reporting there. One thing I wish I'd done over the last year is keep a journal. Not that I want to relive it all now, but it would be nice to have the extraordinary events of 2020 immortalized somewhere to eventually refer back to. While I might have failed to document the highs and lows, an artist named Vic Lee did not. The BBC's Nisha Patel explains how Mr. Lee's creative outlet turned into a book of art that we can all now have a piece of.
What makes this book so special and unlike any journal that you or I might make? Create, Victoria, is that it chronicles 2020 through beautiful hand-drawn illustrations and typography. And during the first lockdown, when all of his work started getting cancelled, he needed a creative outlet, and this is when the Corona Diary was born. It's a labour of love that takes us through some of the big events, some of the small events, and there was a lot of them, wasn't there?
There were. There were so many events. It's hard to keep track. I keep thinking of it all started with a 40-day lockdown, and we're in our third one here in London. So, Nisha, he has now published the book all over the world, but how did he get the idea that this was something that other people would want to buy?
When I spoke to him, he put it very succinctly. He said, "It's the year we want to forget, but we'll always remember." So when he started first transferring all of his ideas, what he was reading in the news and seeing around him happening, he started sharing some of this on LinkedIn. And the picture stories resonated so much with everyone. The silence on the streets, admiration everyone had for key workers, and in particular, the stress on the economy and people losing their jobs. He got a massive response to all of his posts and huge encouragement to publish.
It sort of blew up where I had 250,000 views and 12,000 likes and thousands of comments and people saying, you have to publish. This is people from India, from America, from Australia, Russia, all around the world. So I self-published. I self-funded because I didn't have any work in. I had to sort of do everything myself.
So Nisha, like many other authors have over the last year, he also ran into problems about a book launch event because we can't do those in person. They have to be virtual. He, again, had a creative solution to that problem, didn't he?
He did indeed. Now, as you've just said, a book launch normally might involve fancy champagne and canapés in a room full of people. But because that wasn't allowed, he really had to think outside the box.
I thought to myself, lockdown launch. Let's do it in the downstairs toilet. This, in case you're wondering, is in the book. I drew this in the book. So this is part and parcel of the Corona Diary. You kind of have to find...
Now, bear with me on this one. During the first lockdown, he had this urge to ink. I mean, that's what he does every day. And he just couldn't. So with his partner's blessing, he decided to draw a mural dedicated to the history of Peckham in South London, where he lives. So his entire bathroom, floor to ceiling, is a work of art. You could probably spend many hours in that bathroom. So, suited and booted with a bottle of champagne, no less, he launched the Corona Diary from there, live on Instagram.
I don't think anyone would want to see me doing a book launch from my bathroom. The BBC's Nisha Patel, thanks so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, the book is called Vic Lee's Corona Diary, and if you're curious what it looks like inside, I've tweeted a few pages. You can find me at Victoria Craig, and I'll also pop a link to the infamous bathroom book launch, too, in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.